It's great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show. You know, our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you so you make better financial decisions in your life. Now, we recently had a series of questions about shopping for auto insurance because people are in shell shock how much auto insurance has gone up. And I've addressed it many different ways recently, but I did some digging that is hopefully going to be useful to you. I've got some stats about the differences in what various insurers are raising rates, and I wanted you to be aware of that so you understand when you get a notice from your insurer of a big rate increase, you're not going to be a sitting duck if you follow my guidance here. And speaking of your vehicle, have you noticed car washes popping up all over the place? What's going on? And how do you play with your wallet the car wash wars? I'm going to tell you. So a lot of state insurance departments are what are known as captive regulators. They are dependent on the auto insurers and homeowners insurers to the point that instead of being impartial or being on guard to help consumers, they become really the agents and allies of the insurance industry. There are a number of reasons why that happens, but it's just a fact. You can tell this because they'll keep things secret that the state insurance regulators know to your disadvantage. So there's new data out that's been published about insurers in the state of California, the largest auto insurance market in the country, that is valuable for you to know about what's going on. So I told you last year that Allstate was in a world of hurt, had been losing a lot of money on their auto insurance book of business, and that the Allstate executives had told Wall Street they were going to raise rates as high as they possibly could. And that's now come true here in 24. How much is Allstate raising insurance rates? And this is a proxy for the country, and it'll vary by state. But they're raising rates in California, again, the largest insurance market, by up to 55% at renewal. You could have no change in your driving profile, no accidents, no tickets, no at-faults, and still get a renewal notice 55% higher. The average increase, 30%. Then let's compare that to GEICO, another large insurer. Their average increase, 12%. State Farm, in many states, the largest insurer, up 21% average. So what you need to know is that the loss ratios at different insurers are different. In fact, some insurers are making money right now on auto insurance, while others are losing money. And Allstate was losing buckets of money, which is why they are pushing their rates up through the sky. So when that renewal notice comes that says you're going to owe a zillion more for your auto insurance, do you just pay it? No, you don't. You shop the market. Shop the market. Because each insurer classifies individual drivers or a household differently. So you may have one insurer who's like, oh, well, we don't like blah, 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 blah. So we're pushing the rates up this much. Another insurer might not mind blah, blah, blah at all, and offer you a much lower rate. The only way you know is to shop, and you need to shop the identical coverages. And this auto insurance thing is a problem around the country because when vehicle costs went way, way, way up and the value of used vehicles went way up, what it did was it meant that when you were in an accident, if they totaled out your car, the amount they were having to pay was much higher than their analysis said it would be, multiplied by the number of people who had vehicles totaled, and repair costs were higher. And so that is one of the factors that led insurers to be upside down in auto insurance. At Clark.com, we have a guide how to shop for lower cost car insurance. Go check it out when you get that ugly renewal notice. Go shop the market and get a better deal.
All right. Got some questions regarding insurance. This one's from Z. Our 20-year-old son got 2 speeding tickets.
Oh. Yikes. How old's the son?
20.
20. Okay.
Our homeowner's umbrella and car insurance were canceled. The insurer said to have him move out and they will cover us. Any advice?
Okay. So that's a pretty radical solution. Kick the kid out of the house. Wow. So this is a point where you want to go to an independent agent. Independent agents are experienced old hands in the auto industry who deal with a lot of complicated situations. The fact that you've been, they refer to as non-renewed in the industry, not canceled. Mm-hmm. It's such a funny, silly distinction. And you tell the independent agent that who your insurer has been, that they're non-renewing you, and you need to shop, that the only solution they gave you is to kick your son out. Wow. The independent agent will figure out what's going to be the best alternative for you in that case. That is a pretty radical thing that they canceled the umbrella because they're worried that your son is a danger to himself and to others, and that it would lead to a very, very expensive claim that would outrun your liability coverage and end up going against your umbrella policy, your overall liability shield. So you're going to have to shop because, I mean, kicking your son out, maybe if there's other reasons you want to kick your son out, that's fine. But that's a crazy thing for an insurer to ask of you or to tell you.
Monty in Florida says, after a hailstorm, should I have an independent roofing company look at my roof first for hail damage or contact the homeowner's insurance company for an adjuster to come out and look at the roof? I have photos of the hailstones laying on my porch deck and yard.
Monty, you know, you're in Florida and this thing with the hail claims has become a real flashpoint and the legislature has changed the rules on how this works for insurance because there was a lot of insurance fraud involved with the roof replacements. And there are roofing companies that go around and say, hey, you want a free roof? Want a free roof? Want a free roof? And they were defrauding the insurance companies saying that your roof was bad because of blah, blah, blah. So if there's a kid in the neighborhood who loves flying a drone, get them flying that drone over your roof. You'll be able to see real time if there is any possible hail damage on that roof. You can pay the kids some, you know, 10, 20 bucks, have them fly the drone over and see what's actually going on up there. If there's no clear problem, you're not having any leaks in the house, then there's probably nothing for you to do at that point. On the other hand, if you do see clear damage, pay the kid for the micro SD card, have that for your insurance company. They can send out an adjuster, but the insurance companies do not trust the roofers right now. So getting a roofer to come out and say, I'm wondering if I have hail damage on my roof. The answer is always yes, even if there is none, unfortunately, right now in Florida. And so that's what I would do. Start with the drone as true serum and move on from there.
Yeah, because if you don't need to make a claim,
you don't want to make a claim against your insurance, especially in the state of Florida.
Peter in Nebraska says, both my wife and I are freelancers and we have one car. She needs the car way more often than I do since a lot of times I work remotely. But if I get a gig that requires office work, I would need to get a car. My gigs are not longer than 2 months at a time, so I don't want to buy something. Is there a month-by-month car rental service that I could afford, or do I just go to the nearest airport and rent it? Keep up the great work you're doing for all of us.
Well, thank you for that, and I'm so glad you asked about this, Peter, because there are several auto subscription services that are available regionally in the country, and from various automakers have been trying this. So what you do is you use whatever search engine you use, Google or whatever else, put in auto subscription service, put in the nearest big city to where you live. And then if there's none available in the nearest big city, if you're going to have one for a couple of months, check a city within a few hours from you and see if there's an auto subscription service available. The largest coverage in the United States of auto subscription service is from the European-owned car rental company called Sixt, S-I-X-T. And you pay a subscription fee, and then depending on which level of vehicle you want to subscribe to, you pay a monthly fee for it. And the thing is pretty much cancelable whenever you want, which fits more the idea of what you're interested in. You may also be able to go to a local-only rental company and see if there is any kind of monthly rental you can do with them. In other words, off airport, I would start with a local enterprise location, non-airport enterprise location, and see if there is some kind of reasonable monthly rate they can offer you on rentals. Coming up ahead, one thing you'll never do with that subscription or rental car, you'll never wash it. But the rest of us, car washing's really in, and I want to tell you how to play this new competitive game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Car washes are in. I mean, it is crazy how many car washes there are across the country. Bloomberg reports there are now 60,000 car wash locations in the United States, and it's growing virtually exponentially. What led to this was whoever the brainiac was who came up with the idea of a monthly subscription following the idea of fitness centers was brilliant. So what happened with the model for car washes is they raised the cost of a single car wash. I mean, if you remember, when we first ended up with what the marketplace would consider to be too many car wash locations, the price of a single car wash started going down, down, down. A lot of places down to $5, then down to $3 for an automatic car wash. Now, in most of the country, the individual car wash, the most basic wash, the industry is settled at $10. And why have they settled at $10? Because they use this as a sales tool to try to get you into a monthly subscription. There are people, just as with a fitness center, there are the people that are the gym rats that are there day after day after day, but most people even seem to forget that they joined a gym. And so the car wash business is opening up like crazy just to sell monthly subscriptions that most people never use. I was at a red light the other day. I saw a car wash at the intersection that was $5.99 a month, unlimited car washes for 2 months. But if you wanted a single wash, it was $10. And then after the $5.99 2-month period ended, it goes to $20. The whole business model is dependent on people who think it would be a great idea to have a car wash subscription. My wife, Lane, who has one of these $20 ones. And I don't think over recent months she's used it a single time. Sorry to rat you out, honey. But anyway, know that with these car wash locations proliferating, at some point there will be price wars. But the price war is only useful to you if the rate doesn't escalate. If they offer you, you know, right now we're running monthlies at $14.99 a month, let's say. But how long does that stay in effect? As so often happens, as the cable monsters have learned, offer somebody a deal for a period of time, then have the rate escalate, and people will just force a habit, will just keep paying the higher rate. But know that everything about it is getting you to get one of those stickers that gets you, that's read electronically, that gets you the unlimited car washes, and know that's the deal. And if you know yourself that you'll get that car washed enough to make it work for you, then fine. But if you find that you're not using it, go through the process to discontinue. I did find out that my son also signed up for one of these, and he wasn't going either. And he went by, the first two times he went by to cancel, he was told, oh, well, the person who can do that isn't here. And I said, go back another time. And he was finally able to cancel the third time. So it is clear as could be that my family is just conspiring against me, trying to spend all my money. No, that this is the business model. Understand it. Protect your wallet.
All right.
Are you a member of any of these things?
I'm not. No. Blake in Utah says, we have been with Gab Wireless for our elementary age kids. The devices are awful. We see similar reviews for other companies. We would love to just get an Apple Watch for them to use. What is the best and most Clark budget-friendly way to get service for an Apple Watch without a phone line connected? And I did look at Gab Wireless, and a lot of people do love it.
Yeah, so you know. Yeah. So these kids' devices, some are sold by the cell carriers themselves under, you know, under what's called white label. You don't even know who made them. And others are branded themselves, selling themselves like Gab. These are designed for people who want to be able to stay in touch with their younger child, but not have them yet with
a full phone.
This has been a difficult journey for a lot of parents. And I want to tell you that Apple finally cracked the code on this. And Apple has what's called a family setup plan, because Apple wants to get, from a very young age, people into the Borg collective of Apple products.
Smart.
So Apple has this thing where you set up a family account called the family setup. You can put an Apple Watch with cellular on your child's wrist, not being tied into an iPhone. Because normally with an Apple Watch, you have to have an associated iPhone with it. But with this family setup thing, you don't have to do so. And all the big cell phone carriers and some of the prepaids participate in offering the cellular plan for an Apple Watch without the kid having an iPhone, but assigned within this family setup. I hate to say it, if you go to a cell phone store, they're not going to know about it likely. So go to Apple's website, put in the search bar family setup, and it will explain how it works, and you'll explain it to the people at the cell phone store how it works.
Lisa in New York says, my husband used to make and sell birdhouses. The business phone number was the same as the house phone. Google somehow associated the business name and phone number with pet supplies. My husband never asked to be listed on Google. The business was closed 15 years ago, yet we continue to receive phone calls from people who have found the listing on Google while searching for pet supplies. Today, someone actually showed up at the house with their dog, expecting to find a dog grooming business. That was a first. Do you have any advice on how to disassociate our address and phone number from Google's business listing?
So we had this complaint from someone that was different like 2-3 years ago. I don't know if you remember this, but they were falsely listed as having a business they never had.
Yeah.
at their home address, and people were coming to their home address, and they couldn't figure out how to fix it. And this is not, although it's not a regular thing, it does happen. It's not an isolated incident. You found a YouTube video?
Yeah, I looked this up. So I think, I'm not sure if Lisa's husband has, you know, Google created this listing. You can claim it as your business through Google. Google does make it so hard to talk to anyone. But you, if you have the business listing and you claim it as yours, you can watch, there's a YouTube video, there's many, but I watched one, how to remove your phone number from a Google business listing, and you can get it completely removed and your address as well. So I would try to follow those steps. That's the main thing to do, is you've got to get it out of there.
So the first thing is they've got to claim it, mm-hmm. even though it's a dormant business, they have to claim it.
Yeah.
And then they go through the process.
And you can mark it as permanently closed as well, once you have the business listing permanently closed. So yeah.
Google's not winning a lot of friends these days.
No, somebody shows up with a dog. What a nightmare. D in Georgia says, my 77-year-old mother doesn't have a valid or notarized will or trust. I found a free template online. Do you think it's okay to use something like this?
I wouldn't do that, D. If there's a need for a will or trust, the questions I've got to ask you, are there meaningful assets that your 77-year-old mom has? If it's not a large amount of stuff and there's not...
What does
not,
that mean?
Decent assets. I mean, that varies culturally by family. But I'd say if there's enough money that it could cause hurt feelings among relatives, whatever that would be the point that I'd say there's meaningful money there. If it's not any kind of complicated family situation, there's not a blended family involved, you know, not halves and full kids and all that stuff. If there's nothing like that, just very simple, straightforward, I've found over the years that Willmaker is the best self-done will program there is. As far as trust, there needs to be a very specific reason that a trust would be necessary. Usually, if you get to a situation where you need trust, you really need a lawyer in order to do it properly who does as what he or she does all day long, wills, estates, and trusts. And of course, if there's a meaningful amount of assets, you probably want to use a lawyer. But Willmaker is updated continually. It is the best program out there. And throughout the year, they do specials on Willmaker that take it down from its normal high retail price, which I think is like $79 these days, something like that.
Mike in Georgia says, my wife and I are Henrys, high earners, not rich yet, and Dinks, dual income, no kids. We have maxed.
I've never heard of the Henrys
before. I know.
Before. You said that was high
earners, not rich yet. I know. I had to look that one up. we have maxed out our HSAs, 401ks, and IRAs. After hearing about new rules with 529 plans, I'm wondering if it would be a good idea to open a 529 in each of our names, contribute $8,000 each to each account, and take the state tax deduction. We could then add a little more next year and then sit back and let it grow over the next 15 years. At that point, we would roll it into a Roth IRA to take advantage of the tax-free growth. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, so you're only allowed to a max of $35,000 to move from a 529 after the 15 years into a Roth IRA. And there's a lot of buzz in the financial community that the IRS final regs are going to purposely invalidate people using this as a backdoor method into a Roth, that it is designed for the whole purpose why Congress passed the 529 to Roth conversion is there were a lot of parents that were reluctant or afraid to put money into a 529 account because they didn't know if their kid was going to go to college. And so you have this money in there and it's a tax time bomb if a kid ends up not going to college. So they said, well, maybe we could get people to participate if we gave them this carrot where the money, if a kid didn't go to college, could go into a Roth IRA. Then immediately when this became a thing you could do, people were like, wait a minute, I don't income qualify for a Roth, or I'm maxing out my Roth, and I want to put more tax-free money aside. Why don't I do this 529, name myself as beneficiary, And then 15 years later, migrate it tax-free into a Roth. The states are already on to this. Apparently, there's going to be recapture of whatever state tax deductions there are if the money later is moved to a Roth from a 529. But in terms of you doing this as an adult, naming yourself as a beneficiary and then doing it, it's too early to have a sense whether that's something that's going to be green-lighted. So I'd sit on your hands for now and let's see if that does become a thing or if that might backfire on you. And then you've got the 10% federal penalty and tax, ordinary income tax rates on all the earnings. I mean, you compare it to that tax time bomb, just putting additional money in an investment account in index funds or index type ETFs would be a much lower tax risk than the possibility of 529 money blowing up on you down the road until it's clear whether this is going to be a really great tax dodge. And thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. Know that every single day we have information for your wallet for you with our free newsletters. And our newsletter subscriber lists are growing quite nicely, which means people are finding useful information they can act on in their lives. If you go to clark.com/newsletters or newsletter, you'll see what we got. And again, they are free. And know what we're about with our newsletters, our websites, our social media, our Team Clark Consumer Action Center, what I do on radio, TV, newspaper, everywhere we're doing it. It's all devoted to one purpose: you learning ways to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.